Well, I never heard that before. That's a good song. And all the other ones were too. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer. And the title of this, if you wanted to put a title on it, is A Prayer That Will Not Be Denied. Prayer That Will Not Be Denied. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Speaking of Jesus, it says in the 18th chapter of Luke, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. We have said it 100 times. We'll say it one more time. Praying men don't faint. And fainting men don't pray. It's really that simple. We need an ongoing time of prayer. Communication with God. Let's call it that right now. Communication with God. Where we talk to our Father. He is a good, good Father. And He invites us to come. But when we start getting away from our prayer life, then we start to get weak on the inside. Saying, there was a judge in a city, a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. You know, this is a parable. It's a story that Jesus is making up to illustrate great truths. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Father, we're asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to receive and deliver this message. We need your anointing tonight, Lord, that this might make some change for your glory in our lives. And so speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Encourage our hearts to know that you are a God that desires to answer prayer. Those who have been serious about prayer probably have heard one or more messages on this. It's one of my favorite passages on prayer, and I may have preached it here before, but there's a couple of new things that I've seen in it recently, so we'll get to those, but let's refresh our memory just a little bit. In our story, the judge is like God in this sense. He's the only one that can help this woman. Nobody else can help her. And there's certain things in our lives that only God can do. A lot of things we can work out ourselves and we can take care of. And God lets us do that. But there are certain things that only He can take care of. There are certain lost loved ones that we can't save. We've told them everything we know, and they haven't changed. But God can get a hold of them. He said, my arm is not shortened, and my ear is not heavy, that I can't reach them. So He can reach them, but there's certain things that He can do that we can't do. Joyce, you can vouch for this. Only God could have saved Pastor Dennis back in those days. And you'd told him everything. You'd planted Bibles for him. You've done all those things that you knew how to do, but Only God could reach him.
Amen.
And he did. That's right. But praise God. And that's the only thing that the judge and God have in common. Other than that, they were the only ones that could do anything about this plight that this woman was in. The woman was repeatedly turned down, turned away by the judge. But she kept coming back. And the question is, why? Well, I think the answer is obvious. He's the only one that can help her. So if she doesn't get help there, she's got a problem that we don't know what it was. It doesn't say. But she's a widow, and in that community at that time, she has no standing, really, to get anything done. She doesn't have any pull with anyone. But she goes to the judge and she pleads with him, "Give me justice." The problem is he does not want to be bothered. He doesn't have any fear of God, and he doesn't regard her. Doesn't regard man, let alone this poor woman that has no standing. And he doesn't want to be bothered, and he has no reason to help her. Has no fear of God, as we said. But she has a great need. She has a great need. Or she wouldn't humiliate herself and continue to come. The one thing it seems in this story that the judge can't do, he can't stop her from coming. He can't keep her from continuing to show up. She stays with it. Because her adversary, and we know who the adversary is, don't we? He goes around like a roaring lion seeking somebody that he might be able to devour. We do have an adversary. We do have someone that's opposed to us. And somehow she wants vengeance. She wants to be delivered from him. And this is not a situation that she could just overlook and say it's going to get better on its own. We don't know what the adversary has done for her. He could have cheated her out of her living. He may have taken her land from her. He may have enticed one of her children. We don't know what he did. And the Bible says that our adversary, the devil, is opposed to God's people. And his goal is always to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And Jesus says, listen what the unjust judge says. I don't fear God, or I don't regard man, so I have nothing that compels me to help this poor woman. But she's so determined, she'll bother me until I do what's right. Every morning, I can see it now when the clerk reads the day's docket. There's her name again. And he said, oh, no, not her again. I know her story as well as she does. I know exactly what she's going to say. And I can't discourage her. I don't know. I can't stop her from coming. And she gets more desperate all the time. She's going to wear me out. She is literally going to wear me out. Then Jesus says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord Jesus ties this parable into the days we're living in, the end times. And he says, when I do come, will there be faith on the earth? Will there be people who will not take no for an answer? there will be those who will be praying, and that they will keep coming until they get the answer. I find that kind of faith on the earth. The Lord tells us that in no uncertain terms. And most of us know another story. And this is about the Syrophoenician woman. And if you'll go over to Matthew, Matthew's gospel, and we'll start reading in the 15th verse. And the Syrophoenician woman brings this parable, which is a story, into a real life situation. This Syrophoenician woman is not a parable. It's a real life situation and circumstances. And reading chapter 15, and we'll begin reading with the 21st verse. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. In this story, the devil has a death grip on her daughter, and it's tormenting her constantly. Just like in the story in Luke 18, Jesus is her only help. And she did not leave until she got an answer. At first, he wouldn't even talk to her. And the disciples are saying, "Send her away. She cries after us." She wasn't crying after them. She was crying after Jesus. But he wouldn't even acknowledge that she was there. Did you ever pray and feel like God wasn't listening? That he was somewhere in a different universe and didn't give you the forwarding address? And it just seemed like you were praying and nothing was happening. And you're thinking, am I doing any good or not? But that's the time to keep praying. Amen. Because God's hearing it. And you're one step closer to getting the answer. Every time she cried out, she was one step closer to getting the answer. And just because you don't hear anything from God doesn't mean God is ignoring you. That means you're getting closer to getting your needs met. And for time's sake, we'll shorten this account down a little bit. But finally, the Lord begins to talk to her, and he says something that would discourage almost anybody except a desperate person. One who is really desperate enough to keep on, because she's not there for herself. She's there for her daughter. He calls her what the Gentiles were known as in those days. He calls her a dog. He said, "It's not right to take the children's bread." And by the way, that is the power of God. The power of God to do the things that we need is the children's bread. and throw it to dogs. And she comes back with an answer that brought great admiration from the Lord. She said, "That's true. That's truth, Lord. But even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." That is a great truth here, and it should help us quit wondering why he was so blunt with her and see that he's opening the door for all of us if we will see it. "Lord, you're right. I don't have any standing. I don't even have a right to be here. I have nothing going for me. But it's not about my standing. It's not about my rights. It's not about how good I am. It's not how bad, not about how bad I've been." Maybe somehow she had contributed to her daughter's situation. We don't know. We simply don't know. But she's saying, "It's not about me at all. It's not about my goodness, my standing, how good I've been or how bad I've been. It's not about any of that. It's about your goodness. It's about your power. It's about your ability. And it's about your love for hurting people just like me. Your goodness, your mercy, your ability is what matters." And that is so rich. Your goodness and grace and mercy are so rich. I can live on what other people waste. They throw away enough of your goodness every day. These disciples walk in it every day. And I can live on what they throw away. That's how rich you are, Lord. That's how much I need you. And so here I am. And she joins another Gentile by the name of Cornelius. No, the centurion. As the only one in the New Testament that Jesus complimented by saying they had great faith. And both of them were Gentiles, and they both took their eyes off of themselves and put them on Jesus. When he told this woman that she had great faith, he really promoted her into a child of Abraham. She might have been a Gentile, but Abraham is the father of the faithful. And by grace, we are children of Abraham. Hallelujah. And this other Gentile named Cornelius prayed and fasted. And the Bible says his prayers came up as a memorial before God. You and I have a memorial before God if you've done any praying at all. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if it's, you know, standing there and getting in God's way or what it is. I rather think it is a spiritual memorial before God. So don't quit. You've got something that's already, your prayers never die. Your prayers live forever. And so don't quit. Do not be less insistent. Do not ever be discouraged because you're closer now than you've ever been. And we sung it tonight. The devil is a liar. He'll tell you, you're not good enough. Your son is lost because of you. That person's in their bad situation because of you. You can say like this woman, "That may be true. That may be true. But Lord is bigger than all of my failures. He's bigger than all the things that you're talking about. You will turn the head and the heart of God, and that son, that daughter, that loved one will be delivered. That job that you've been praying for may come through. God's people can be revived by a few people who are willing to sell out to God." And my encouragement to us tonight is things look pretty sad sometimes. Pretty sad in the church sometimes. But God is on the move. And God will not fail us. Every time this nation has gotten into a bad spot, there has been a revival, there's been another great awakening, and it's kept us going. And I believe God wants to keep us going till Jesus comes. I believe there's another harvest, and I believe that America is going to be a part of that harvest. Through your prayers, He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And He says, when that happens, your sons and your daughters, instead of being strung out on drugs, instead of being what young people are getting into these days, they'll prophesy. They will. They'll prophesy. And old men will dream dreams. I don't know who qualifies for that, but I do. I'm having some dreams lately. They're kind of strange. But anyway, I won't bore you with them. But I wake up and, I had a dream just... No, I'm not going to get into it. It's too long. If I just tell a little bit of it, it won't make any sense, and it's too long to tell much of it. Okay. But He said, whosoever... In Joel chapter 2, it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then that's repeated in Acts, the second chapter, that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that tells me that church is going to be such, Pastor Denise, that whoever walks through that door and calls on the name of the Lord, it doesn't matter if they're mixed up gender-wise. It doesn't matter how confused they are. It doesn't matter if they've been strung out on heroin for 10 years. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be sozo, saved, healed, delivered, set free. And when they call on the name of the Lord in sincerity, they will be delivered and they will be set free. We have many encouragements to pray. The Bible says Elijah was a man like us, of like passions. He was like us. After having a great victory, he had a great failure. But Elijah prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And the book of James said it didn't rain. Then he prayed again and called on the Lord, and it did rain. And in that prayer, he was up at the top of Carmel after that victory, and it was time for the Lord to send rain. And he began to pray. And the Bible says that he got down with his head between his knees. Some have said that's like a birthing position. He was giving birth to something that God wanted to do. And he sent his servant Gehazi out to see if there was any sign of rain. And Gehazi said, nothing, I see nothing. He said, go again. And he went again. Elijah prayed again, said, go again. He went again. He did this seven times. And on the seventh time, the man came back, and I do see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising up out of the sea. And that's all Elijah needed to say. See, he told the king, he said, you better get down to Jezreel because the rain is going to overtake you. And God supernaturally sustained Elijah, and he outran the chariot down to Jezreel. Amazing. Amazing. And I got just a couple of more minutes, and let's go over to Luke chapter 11, and I'll close out with this. In Now, the Lord has taught on prayer. This Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18 are the Lord Jesus Christ's primary teachings on prayer. Oh, there's other places where he teaches, and he always was teaching by example. But in Luke 11, he says, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.'" Now, keep in mind, this is midnight. There's no stores open. There's no place open. If you don't have it by then, you don't have it. And this man didn't have anything for his friend, who was obviously hungry. And he will answer from inside and say, and he goes to his friend, who knows, he knows this friend has probably got bread. Don't trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me, and I cannot give up and give to you." Apparently securing a door and all of that was something that took a little time and a little effort. "I say to you that he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, but because of his persistence." Some of your Bible versions will say shameless persistence. "Because of his persistence," some will say importunity, "he will arise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given you." Now, if you have an Amplified Bible, either here or at home, you look that up, it'll say, "Ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it'll be open to you." For everyone, now here's where we all come into this. "For everyone that asks and keeps on asking receives." I said to the Lord one time, I said, "Lord, I'm not much, but I'm an everyone. And I do qualify, and I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on asking till we see revival. I'm going to keep on asking till we see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God, not for man's glory, but for the glory of God." And there's a lot of interest in prayer right now. Pastor Dennis is talking about going to a prayer seminar up in Oxnard. Then there's a lot of things like that going on, Pastor. God is getting ready. But he always gets some people praying before he moves. Because if we don't care enough to pray, we won't care enough to take care of the harvest. And it's just like that. "For everyone asks and keeps on asking receives, and he that seeks and keeps on seeking finds, and to him that knocks and keeps on knocking, it will be opened." And then he says, "If a son asks bread for you, a father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Of course not. If you then, being evil," God knows how we are, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Somebody comes to you in their journey. It's midnight. They don't have any answers. And they get there and you don't have any answers. You say, "I don't know what to tell you. But I know someone that does. And I'm going to go get an answer for you." Or better still, you've been up praying already, and God has laid that individual on your heart, and you already have an answer, and you have something to give them. What is it? It's a word from the Holy Ghost. We're not talking about physical bread here. We're talking about the word from the Lord. And that's what people really need at a certain time. They need the Word of God. They don't need my opinion. They don't need my best judgment. They need a word from God. They need to hear from the Holy Ghost, Josh. And that's the only thing that will make a difference in their lives at that moment. And there have been times when people have come to me and I didn't know what to say to them. Every pastor has probably had that. But it's incumbent on all of us, not just pastors, to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't know what to tell them. Usually, you'll get an answer fairly soon. But you know what? Sometimes we'll just give them our leftovers. Give them whatever we've told somebody else. And it may not fit them at all. So don't give people your leftovers. Get a fresh word from God. Amen? Let's all stand together tonight. Pastor Dennis and Dee, I really enjoy preaching here because your people are so receptive. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, stir our hearts tonight, we pray, that we'll know as long as we can pray, as long as we can seek your face and call upon the name of the Lord, we will come through everything victorious. And we thank you for this congregation of your people here tonight. As we have learned throughout your scripture, you can save by many or by few. And there's a few of us here gathered tonight, but Lord God, it's more than the disciples. Hallelujah. You left 11 men, oh God, and they soon turned into more and more and more. And Lord, we know that you're able to do it. And Lord, I pray, and we pray for Pastor Dennis and Denise as they're out ministering to those in convalescent home and then the homeless, feeding them physical food, but most importantly, giving them the word that will save their souls. And we thank you that there's an increased interest. And glory to God. Glory to God. Bless this church, Father, we pray. Lord, this church, just like all of us have been through some things. We've had some battles. And Lord God, we're still going on. And we'll continue to go on. Till Jesus comes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you for your kind attention, Pastor.